Hello, everyone, and welcome to Major Donors and Online Giving, What's Their Experience? I'm Brian Saber, president of Asking Matters. I'm delighted to have you here today for a topic we have not covered before, but one that is really important and one on which I had this aha moment as I was talking to our two presenters a few months ago, because I realized that major donors are interfacing with our websites and often with the donation page, whether they've made their pledge through meeting or phone call or whatever, they're paying it online. And are we actually paying attention to that? So I felt it was really germane, and I'm delighted to have them here today. I am speaking to you from South Orange, New Jersey, where I live and work. And I'm going to ask you to type in the questions box, which hopefully you're seeing on the right now, where you are listening in from today. If you're not seeing that, the control panel, please click on the orange and white arrow to expand it. There are two things you want to watch out for there. One is audio. If you're having any issues hearing, it's usually on your side. Most of us listen in on the computer today, and sometimes that connection can be wonky. So just click on phone to call in and listen over your phone while you're watching on your computer. And the second is the questions box. Thanks. I see people typing in from all over the country. Bordentown, New Jersey. I was in Bordentown recently, Allison. What a great town. Out to Arizona, California, Texas. We have hundreds of you on today and delighted to have you from all over the country, in Canada and probably elsewhere. So thanks for joining us. Everyone will get a link to the recording for today and a copy of Carrie and Adam's slides, so you don't have to write down everything you see on the screen. And before I do hand this over to them, I do want to take a moment. I think many of you know that yesterday it was announced that one of the great legends in our field, Jerry Panis, passed away. And I had gotten to know him recently and spend a lot of time with him. And it's been a profound time for me, and especially in light of today having a webinar with experts in the field, because some of you, I'm sure, were on one of the webinars Jerry did for Asking Matters over the years, which were so wonderful just to sit and listen to him. And I had the pleasure of sitting with him a number of times this spring, where we created some audio podcasts that eventually we will release, and I think you'll find them special. So just a moment to acknowledge all that Jerry has done for the field and how much we'll all miss him. But now I am going to pass the baton and the presentation mode on to Adam, and Adam and Carrie are going to take it from here and introduce themselves. The only thing I will say is that I've met Carrie this past year. She's a dynamic younger consultant and thought leader in the field, and she's made a bunch of interesting connections for me and brought me into the fold in a particular Facebook group. And then we started talking about things, and she and Adam have a great company, Project Donor Love. They're going to talk about that and introduce themselves and share all their knowledge. And please do type in the questions box any questions you have as we go along, and we will try and take them. So Carrie and Adam, I'm passing it on to you.
Thank you so much, Brian, and thank you for paying tribute to Jerry. As we say in the Jewish faith, may his memory be a blessing, and I know it will be, not only for the people that knew him personally, but the people who have been affected by the work that he did to raise money and teach others to raise money for so many worthy causes. So let's say that this presentation is in his memory. You asked where people were calling in from. Great to hear that people are calling in from all over the place. We especially love our friends in Canada. Hi, Canada, we love you. And we are actually calling in from San Francisco, like actual San Francisco.
Chilly summer's day.
Yes, where it's only 65 degrees. But both Adam and I are suffering from some allergies right now, so please bear with us if you hear any coughs or sneezes as we go. So welcome again. We're very excited to be the first webinar after the publication of Asking Matters and Brian Saber's new book, Asking Styles. I'm sure he will mention it at the end, and hopefully anybody listening to this has already ordered a copy. I actually already reviewed it for Amazon, and I've been promoting it for myself as a consultant for the last 4 years. I have been asking my clients, board members, to take the quiz on Asking Matters and to submit their answers to me. So before I work with any boards on anything related to fundraising, I already know what their asking style is, and then I know they're going to get follow-up information and access to Brian's work. In the case of both Adam and myself, we are both mission controllers. My secondary style is a kindred spirit, while Adam is a rainmaker as his secondary style. So that's a little bit about our background. And I'm sure that we have a diverse group of the four categories here. And before we get started, I just wanted to mention, as Brian did, please go ahead and ask questions along the way. Brian knows he can interrupt us with questions that come up, but then we're also going to leave a nice hearty 15 minutes at the end to dig a little deeper into questions that you might have. And then, as you'll see throughout the presentation, even on this homepage here, our email addresses are here. We're going to give you our cell phone numbers and our website. Please feel free to email us with questions. Some of these concepts that we're sharing today are really brand new, and we are happy to take the time for Brian's community to answer those questions and be able to move forward.
So let's start by going over the learning objectives for today's presentation. The title of the presentation asks the question, what's the experience of major donors online? Well, we're going to give you the answer right now. It's generally a bit poor. The donation forms are often a neglected part of nonprofit websites, even on websites that are generally well-designed and well-structured, that have good design, that have text and images that speak well to the impact of the organization. Donation forms are often left as the default of the vendor, things that don't look like the rest of the site, things that just aren't at the same standard as the rest of the site, a disappointing place to arrive at. Despite all this, though, it doesn't have to be this way. We believe that giving major gifts online can be as an experience that is seamless and compelling as the sort of experiences one gets on e-commerce sites. And we believe also that you can raise the gift amounts you receive online by making your donation forms easy and compelling for major donors. In 2018, the technology exists to do that, and we will be discussing some ways to do it.
Right, and part of the timing of this particular presentation is that it is July, and I hope that those of you on the call are thinking about end of year and Giving Tuesday campaigns and other sorts of fall gift interactions that you're going to be having maybe face to face with your major donors. And we'd like to have you take a time to check under the hood and see, are you making it as easy as possible for those major donors to give online, whether they have before or not, and then how you can actually increase the size of those gifts and build even deeper relationships with those major donors. So a lot of the things we're talking about today are things that we feel are potentially implementable by you or by your team, but it may be over the course of a couple of months. So let's be thinking about Giving Tuesday and end of year specifically. All right, so we'd like to know who we're talking to today. Now we have an idea of where you're calling in from. We'd like to get an idea of what your job title is. So in the questions box that you put in your title, if you could type in if you have one of these titles that's listed above, or if you have a title that's not listed at all, go ahead and type that into the box. And by doing that, we'll have some sort of idea of the general group of the hundreds of you that we're talking to. Brian's done this before, so I'm sure he will be able to give us sort of an overview of roughly who we're talking to today in terms of people's roles at their nonprofits. Brian, what are we finding there?
What are we finding? Well, first of all, we're finding that I should have taken Evelyn Wood's speed reading because there are so many responses coming in. I'm seeing a lot of development directors, a lot of directors of development, actually, some major gift officers, some executive directors, I'd say maybe 10%. Lots, I'd say almost 40% directors of development, and then lots of directors of major gifts and coordinators. So a really great mix, a couple of volunteers. Faye, I see you here and others, and I want to make a special shout out for volunteers who are taking the time to listen in today. That's really great of you. But tons of development directors and major gift officers for sure.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And yes, to all of you volunteers out there, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us for this. And yes, we appreciate you on a whole separate level. So thank you for joining us. So whoever you are, you probably know that you're a unicorn. You are a special, special breed of spirit animal that only exists in the nonprofit world. In San Francisco, even, nobody really wears suits. I don't know about where you live, but I really like this image of you are a unicorn and you are either literally a professional or if you're a volunteer, you still put on your spiffy clothes when you're representing your nonprofit. Hopefully many of you know Vu Le, V-U, last name L-E, who's the author of the nonprofit, of the of the blog, Nonprofit AF. He has a new book out called Unicorns Unite, in which he says that we're all unicorns because we chose this work and stick around because we believe that if we want things, we want to make the world better, we can't wait around for fate or for other people to take care of things.
So why are we here? Why are we talking about online donation forms and major gifts? It doesn't seem like the most obvious pairing. Well, firstly, let's start with donation forms. Across the board, nonprofit donation forms have a surprisingly poor conversion rate. Now, what is a conversion rate? A conversion occurs when somebody goes to a form and then fills it out. So that would be a conversion. If somebody goes to the form and doesn't fill it out, that's not a conversion.
Well, fills it out and hits submit and actually makes the donation.
Actually completes the form, submits the form. So according to M&R Benchmark's 2018 report, the conversion rate, that is the percentage of people who go to forms and then submit them for donation forms across the board for nonprofits, is 17%.
That's 17.17%. So 83% of the people who go to your donation form, specifically go to that form, are not making a donation.
Correct. Now, there's a lot of reasons why somebody might go to a form and not donate, but it's not the most impressive number, and we think it can be improved. Now, how does this relate to major donors? In 2018, we believe the technology is now catching up to the specific needs of major donors, and your online donation forms now can be an important part of your relationship with major donors. And let's keep in mind that even if your major givers are not already giving online, they definitely are interacting with your website. They're going to the website to see your annual report, to learn about your programs and the impact of your programs, to learn about events. Major givers are already on your website, and we think there are ways you can convert them into online givers.
One of the expressions we have at Project Donor Love is donor love at first sight. So while donor love is frequently focused on making sure that you're thanking people appropriately and giving people the attention that they deserve for the gifts that they make, at any level, of course, but in particular today we're talking about major gifts, But whether someone is a new donor or a current donor or has been to your website before, having them be able to go to the form and be able to easily and in an interesting way make a donation. A friend of mine and Brian's recently lost her mother and asked for donations in her memory to be made to a nonprofit. It was the first contact I'd ever had with this nonprofit. And I went to the donation form and it was very easy for me to say, I want to give this much money and I want a note to go to this person saying I made a gift in memory of her mother and so forth. And I thought to myself, if the donation form had not been as easy to utilize as it was, would I have gone and written a check and put it in an envelope and made a note that said, please send a thank you to the note to this person and so forth? And I probably wouldn't have. So that's the kind of experience that we're trying to avoid here, is we want people to go to your website, go to your donation form, and then successfully make a gift of any size. But specifically today, we're going to be talking about whatever your organization defines a major gift as.
So Carrie mentioned the phrase donor love in the previous slide. Let's talk about that a bit more. Donor love is a guiding principle behind all of the advice that we're going to give you. We call our agency Project Donor Love because we think that donor love is a key mindset that supports good stewardship of donors. And also we think that websites can and should express donor love. If you haven't encountered this phrase before, donor love is a Twitter hashtag. You'll see it used on tweets that talk about various aspects of good stewardship of donors. We've looked online for something that looks like an official definition of donor love, but haven't been able to find one. So we've come up with our own approach for defining it. To our mind, donor love is an application of empathy. When we are showing donor love, we are using our imagination to imagine what's the experience of a donor interacting with our organization, interacting with our website, interacting with our donation form, with the goal of engendering a certain feeling, a certain mindset in that donor. So with that in mind, we think that starting at the end is the best way to understand it. Let's start with, what do we want to achieve with this? What kind of experience, what kind of feeling do we want our donors to have? We think that donor love is expressed when donors feel that they are understood by your organization, that your organization values them as individuals and understands why they are giving money. We feel donor love is expressed when donors feel that their gifts are appreciated. In other words, when you are thanking donors well. It's expressed when donors feel the impact of their gifts, when your organization communicates well what the impact of their gifts is, what the impact of the program work you are doing is. But donor love is something that goes beyond just your organization. By giving to you, when a donor feels donor love, then by giving to you, they feel that they are having an impact on the world around them, that they are making a difference in what often seems like an increasingly chaotic and hostile world. All of this could be a way of saying that donor love makes donors feel like they matter.
Right. And I think that that's one of the areas where there is a bit of a shift from some traditional fundraising concepts, which really sort of stop at number two or number three in terms of, yes, of course, we want to make donors feel good, but we're trying to make it so that these relationships that they have with your organization are so deep that they understand that by helping your organization specifically, they're doing something that is making the world a better place. And God knows we all need that right about now. So we're curious whether you are already familiar with the expression donor love. If so, maybe it's a hashtag that you follow, or maybe it's an expression that you've used as
maybe
a major
gift. Maybe you've tweeted a donor love tweet.
Right, or maybe as a major gift officer or as a development director, you've used this expression before, or maybe this sort of scratches the itch of, oh, I've been looking for an expression for this. Oh, it's donor love. But if it is something that you've used before or something that you've thought about or something that listening to us, there's a piece that you're like, oh yeah, actually, this is what I think of when I think of donor love, we'd love to have you type that into the questions box, because it is sort of a mystery of where this phrase even even came from. There isn't a formal definition of it online. I said to Adam one day, there isn't anything on Wikipedia under donor love. And he said, why would there be? It's a hashtag. And I was like, but it's so important. So we'd love to know if any of you have something that you could put in the questions box about what donor love is, and then we will transition from there about how to apply donor love specifically to the online donation process for your major donors.
And we are getting lots of responses. So make the donor the hero, Cindy says. Ooh. Wendy says regular communication, thank yous, keeping them close, photo updates. Michelle says, good stewardship, donor focus, connecting the donor with their values. Heather, Brian says, a Valentine card to say we love you. Appreciation. Ellen says, it's all about you. David says, a common tactic for expressing donor love, call and thank the donor and do not ask them for more money. Just thank them and explain how their donation has made a difference. Barbara says, when a donor feels like they really made a difference and they can feel good about themselves. Yes.
Right. Well, this audience knows what donor love is about.
Yeah. Those are some great answers. Thank you so much, everybody, for contributing to that. So now we're going to transition to our topic, which is how are we going to collect major gifts through online donations? So we want you to finish this webinar today and to, as a development director or a major gift officer, to say, I know something that I can do that I can talk to my executive director about, or maybe you're allowed to just go hack onto your website and do something yourself or go talk to your tech person. But we wanted to come up with five areas where we felt like everybody on this call could find something that they could do in anticipation of future campaigns and, as you'll hear us talk about, in-person asks. So the five areas are having specific major gift forms, encouraging recurring gifts online, setting up an ask ladder or those recommended donation levels that people come across on a form, having your donors be able to cover transaction fees, and also mobile responsiveness, which is the way we say it here. I've just memorized this term from San Francisco here, which is mobile first design instead of mobile friendly design, of really making sure that your donors are able to, while they're standing in line at the bank, go ahead and make a $5,000 contribution.
So let's get the ball rolling by talking about major gift forms. The first thing to keep in mind here is that nonprofits are receiving online donations now that are within the cutoff of a major gift for many organizations. In a 2017 article, Steve McLaughlin, who's the VP of Data and Analytics at Blackboard, looked at the Blackboard data set and found it was common for organizations to receive $1,000 to $5,000 gifts online. Another interesting piece of data here is that the 2018 Donor Experience Study by Community Brands, this was just released, I think, last week, they found that the two groups who are most comfortable with the idea of making a large gift online are firstly millennials and secondly people with a household income over $200,000. So people are making major gifts online, and your major donors are among the groups who are most comfortable with the idea of making major gifts online. So how do we convert that into actually getting them to give online? What you should not do is add a $5,000 suggested gift amount to your main donation form on your website. We would not advise doing that. What we would advise instead is setting up targeted donation forms that are specific to major donors. These, you can then direct your major donors to these forms through a variety of ways. You can use email campaigns, you can use direct mail campaigns to bring your major donors to forms that are specific for them.
And then there's also the in-person ask. So we're going to repeat this again and again and again. And obviously, knowing that there's a lot of development directors and major gift officers that are having one-on-one asks with people is, well, how would this go differently if you had a tablet in front of you that had this major gift form on it? You had it with you, you've got cell phone service, you're not reliant on the Wi-Fi at the coffee shop or out in the park or wherever you are. And normally you're ending that conversation either saying, would you like to submit a pledge, which then of course needs to be collected, or would you like to submit a check? And, you know, most people under a certain age, I don't carry any checks. As a matter of fact, I'm still using, the address on my checks is still from an address I had 14 years ago. So I would be normally making a pledge at that meeting, whereas if someone could put a tablet in front of me that had a beautiful and easy to use donation page, I could say, oh, okay, I was planning on making a large gift, so here, I'm just going to make it right now. Or as we're going to talk about later, I'm going to give a large gift, but it's going to be over the course of a year. So I'm going to be able to fill it out right now and set up those recurring gifts. And so by the time you walk out of that ask meeting, you've not only collected the money, you've done so in such a way that as soon as they, you know, pull out their phone when you've left, they immediately are able to see the thank you note, the impact statement showing that their gift was received and appreciated. Then you can do all the wonderful thank yous and follow up that we talked about in the donor love section. So how do we actually make this happen? How do we make it so that major givers are comfortable and interested in making gifts online? One is that it's important to communicate to your major donors that giving online is normal, it's convenient, it's better for the organization. They can get frequent flyer miles for their $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 gift. I mean, that's amazing. And it makes recurring giving easy. So if it's something they were thinking about before, now it's something where they can just set it and forget it. So instead of that person making a gift normally, which would be, let's see here, I made a list. They need a checkbook, maybe a piece of letterhead to put a note with, an envelope, a return label, and a stamp. Making a donation online is as easy as making a pledge, except you've actually succeeded in making it. So we need to normalize online major giving amongst our givers. The second part is to try out the process of having major gift forms in any environment where major givers, major donors can be found. And then lastly, having a mobile responsive, mobile specific giving site that's something that you can have on a tablet that you can use for in-person asks, the one-on-one asks we've been talking about, and then later we're going to talk about how you can use that mobile responsive page for events as well.
Carrie, can I ask you a question? It's a question Angela posed a little while ago. I think it might be apropos. Is it better to have separate pages for each of your funds, like your annual fund, your gala, and such, or one all-inclusive page?
I think it depends on your organization. We do recommend, as we mentioned before, having, and we just pulled up the slide here as an example of a major gift page. So we do suggest having a major gift page that is completely separate from your normal online giving page, where maybe you're suggesting $25, $50, $100. This is something completely separate. In terms of the annual gala, for example, or annual fund page, you know, do you want everybody going to one annual fund page, or do you even then want to separate it into two annual fund pages? One that goes to donors under $999 and one that goes to people who you expect to give over $1,000. So we're certainly not opposed to having multiple pages. It's just a question of what's the best fit, I think, for each organization.
Yeah, we're going to talk about segmentation a bit more further in here, but we'd argue that the stronger way to divide it would be by segmentation of your donors rather than by fund. But this will vary depending on the needs of your organization. So let's talk a bit about this slide here.
Is that okay? Yeah. Brian, was that yes. sufficient? Okay, good.
Yes, I think so. We have a bunch more questions coming in, but I'm going to let you continue and then we'll grab some of them in a bit.
Great, thanks.
So this is a segment of a donation form that has large asked amounts. So the sort of major gift specific donation form you might use. There's a few things that we wanted to draw your attention to here. So the suggested donation amounts here are all 2,000, they're all large amounts, 2,000, 1,500, 1,000. Keep in mind here that the suggested amounts kind of create their own context. Now, if we had a form that had a $2,000 suggested amount next to a $100 suggested amount, that would look very strange. Firstly, if I'm someone who is, you know, the median sort of giver, if I'm intending to make a donation in the few hundred dollar amount, coming to this form is going to be off-putting for me. This is why we suggest having forms that are specific for major givers. On the other side, if I am someone who is willing to make a $1,000 or $2,000 gift to your organization, and I went to a form aimed at the regular giver that has a $100 option and a $200 option and then a window for other, is that person really going to type $1,000 into other, or are they going to think, well, it sounds like $200 is enough, and give $200?
Okay, so the second area that we wanted to talk about was recurring gifts.
Recurring gifts. By recurring gifts, of course, we mean gifts where the charge is coming on a donor's credit card on a recurring interval, monthly, quarterly, what have you. The bottom line here is we think that you should promote recurring gifts on your major giving donation forms, in fact, on all of your donation forms. Recurring gifts can be a bit of a win-win for you and for your donor. We would argue some people are a bit hesitant to ask for recurring gifts. It sounds like a higher level of commitment from the donor, but actually we think it adds convenience to the donor. Keep in mind that most people are organizing their household budget on a monthly basis. That's the mental model they have for expenses. Everything from their gym membership to Netflix, all of these things end up being monthly recurring credit card charges.
And some of those big things too, like even rent or student loan payments or
mortgages,
things like that.
Yeah. Yes, car loans.
They're used to seeing even large amounts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So having a recurring gift is something that fits better into a donor's mental model of managing their expenses rather than making one big donation at the end of the year and then having to do division to prorate that over the other 11 months and so forth. But, you know, we're not here just to make the donor's life easy, even though we are talking about donor love here. Your organization is doing your program work. And recurring gifts are better for your organization as well. Because if you can convert more and more of your donors to giving recurring gifts, you are making the revenue of your organization more consistent, less prone to peaks and valleys. There's also some interesting stats out there about recurring givers. One is that recurring givers have much larger retention rates than the one-off givers. For example, the Fundraising Effectiveness Project's 2016 report found an across-the-board 46% year-over-year retention rate for one-off donors versus 90% for monthly recurring donors. There's also a lot of interesting information out there about the amounts that people give for recurring gifts. There's a bunch of studies comparing average annual one-time gifts with average annual recurring gifts. And what you will see across the board is that the average annual recurring gift is about 2 to 2.5 times the amount of the one-off gift. So what can you do to encourage recurring donations? The first thing is make sure that on your donation form you have different amounts for recurring gifts. Obviously, if you're asking for a monthly recurring gift, then the suggested amount should be much lower than if you're asking for a one-time gift.
So for many people, the cutoff we get is that a major gift is more than $1,000. So if someone were normally going to give you a $1,000 gift and you said to them, we'd like to transition you to a recurring gift program of $100 a month, then you just added 20% to their annual giving, and they probably won't even notice the difference, that they're giving $100 a month for 12 months, which is $1,200, instead of a one-time gift of $100. Or of $1,000. In terms of communicating how important these recurring major gifts are for your organization's annual budget, I had this sort of flashback to being an executive director, being a development director. Actually, I've been pretty much every job of all of you that are on this call, and thinking about being worried about making my month's payroll and having to run back to my office from lunch just make sure that I had enough checks that came in by that date that I could deposit, that I could make the month's payroll. Whereas if I have a whole selection of major donors that are making monthly payments and I say, okay, I know I'm getting $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month, $100,000 a month just in recurring major donor gifts, then I know I'm going to be able to cover my payroll or the other things that keep executive directors and many of the rest of you up at night worrying. And then the last area is that, you know, we do a lot, you know, it came up before about annual giving, capital campaign giving. We do a lot to reward those people, and we want to reward major donors. But what about taking it a step further and saying, let's find a way to reward people who are not just major donors, but are the foundation of the organization, which is those recurring gifts. That if we can count on you for not just a lot of money, but a lot of money that's spread out in such a way that we can all keep track of it and be able to run our organization better and have an easier time on your budget, then let's do something special for that. And so let's do a special thank you, just saying you've gone above and beyond because you are one of our foundation's leaders.
Carrie, I just wanted to jump in because I'm fascinated by this. For years, I also have been in every position over the years when I worked in nonprofits, and I would, with the board, encourage them to make their gifts early in the year, their actual payments, to help cash flow the whole year. And I never took it further to the major gift givers. And I think that's a really tremendous point, and one that is made easier by this recurring giving online, which of course is based on your having a really good online giving platform that you can present to them. So I'm really struck by that at the moment, because I work for a lot of social service agencies, as I'm sure many of you do, where we have government contracts that were always coming in late, and we were having to float the money and wait for reimbursement, which makes it even more difficult. And the major donors can be a great source of cash flow. So I just think that's wonderful.
Thank you.
All right. The third topic we're going to cover today is suggested gift amounts on your donation forms. Let's remember that when we're talking about major givers and online donations, we're talking about major gift-specific donation forms. And I'm using forms here in the plural quite intentionally. We would advocate having multiple donation forms targeted at major givers. Segmentation is the key to success here. Create forms for each segment of your major donors based on their previous giving amount, so that the suggested amounts that you have on each of these donation forms is keyed to the 1,000 to 2,000 range, or the 2,000 to 5,000 range, or whatever way you can sensibly segment your major givers. If you have the budget to do it, even better than segmentation is personalization. This would be where the major donor goes to a donation form from an email appeal or a direct mail or what have you, and the suggested amounts are that person's last gift to you plus 10% or plus 20% or something like that. We say within budget because realistically on most CRMs or donation form platforms, you are probably going to need some custom programming to make this happen. But if it is something that's feasible, it can be a very powerful way to do things. How many options and what should those options be? Now, there's a lot of detailed theories you can get into about that. A quick rule of thumb to start with here is that we would suggest 3 to 5 suggested donation amounts. Plus, of course, you always want a box for someone to type in their own amount. Most people are likely to choose the middle option if there's 3, or the second option if there's a different number. So make that option be the one you're targeting for the average gift amount on that form.
I want to throw out a question that someone had here, and that is that, so when you're with a donor in person, the donor makes a commitment, you can bring up a page you've customized in advance and such. How do you, in other instances, how do you direct donors to one of, let's say you have a handful of pages, not a customized one, but 3 separate pages. How do you direct them to the one you want them to be at? I mean, sometimes it's a new donor and you're not sure where they are. I mean, what are some of the techniques you use to get them there?
Yes, if it's not an in-person ask, then we're going to be talking here about segmented emails or segmented direct mail.
Yeah, so each one would send them to a separate URL. So as we've all learned, I'm sure everybody on this call at some point has learned a lesson, don't ever name anything something that you don't want people to see. So we don't want your form to be www.organization.org/cheap donors or fancy donors.
Right.
We want there to be a form that says, you know, donor form 3. And donor form 3 is the link that you send to everybody in a particular campaign or in the annual fund that you want to land on a page where the gifts range from $1,000 to $2,500. Whereas /donor form 4 is going to take them to another one. So you can embed that URL in your email so they don't even see the name of it because it's just the hyperlink. You can use that terminology in a direct mail piece to say, if you'd like to make an online a gift, please go to, and then have it be that specific form. And then you can also do that for campaigns, like we were talking about. If you're doing an annual fund campaign, you can divide up into several different forms and then just make sure you're directing the right people to the right form. And then the only form that's just commonly available on your website is the one that you expect regular givers more in that $100 and under range to land on as the default, and that's the only, what's the right term for it, where it actually shows up in the menu.
The only linked form
is that one. The rest of them are designed specifically to be sent to the right people who you want to see it.
Got it. Very helpful. Thanks.
So what can you do about having sensible suggested gift amounts? Firstly, as we mentioned, segmentation is key here. Segment your major givers as much as you can, and as we were just talking about, direct people to forms that are specific for their segment. And as we mentioned before, personalization would be even better than segmentation. So talk to your web team and see if this is something that you can achieve on your platform and see if it's possible to set up forms that are personalized based on the giver's previous giving history or capacity.
Or if you're using something that doesn't have the capacity to do any of these things, now is the time to consider if you're going to be shopping for either donation form products or all-in-one products or things like that, think about all the different things we're mentioning, like how many different forms can you have, donation forms? Is there a limit to only 3? Well, that's going to be a problem based on the advice we're giving you. We want you to have an unlimited number of engagement forms for whatever the level is. So keeping these things in mind as you move forward is going to make a big difference in that area. And the other thing I had mentioned about having this tablet that has the donation form already pulled up on it for a targeted audience is at events. So for me, I've had people, you know, all the way around the corners of an event. I've had volunteers, thank you again, volunteers, or I've had junior staff people who are sitting around the corner saying, I'll take your donation. Or, as perhaps some of you do, you leave envelopes on the table that say, please submit this envelope. Someone's going to come around and collect this envelope and make a donation. Those are both not really highly engaging. But having an intern or a volunteer come to your table and say, hey guys, we have this cool new donation form and we can pass around this iPad and each of you can make a donation, get your frequent flyer miles now, and by the time I move on to the next person, you can check your email and see a confirmation that your gift went through and see an impact statement showing a photo and showing something that says, I can't believe you just made this gift. You're amazing. And then, as we said before, then we move into the extensive thanking process and really making people feel good after the gift. So that's one way you can work with it at events. So I don't think we need to, I know we're running low on time, so we're not going to actually ask people to answer this question in the question box, but one of the things that we wonder about with many of the organizations is, can your donors opt to pay the transaction fee in your donation form? So we're going to assume that some of you are able to do that and some of you are not able to do that. And we're just going to move forward from there and talk about it and not actually ask you about it. So let's say that you cannot accept transaction fees, meaning someone can't say, I'm going to give you $1,000 and then check off a box that says, oh, yeah, sure, I'll cover the 3% transaction fee for the transaction processor that you're using. Well, donors like to know that their entire gift is going directly to your organization. I am a big fan of including overhead in that amount. I'm not saying programming specific. I just mean that the entire gift is going to the organization. So major donors are already so dedicated to your mission that 50 to 60% of them will cover that transaction fee. So that $1,000 that your organization would lose $30 on getting that $1,000 contribution, having the person say, well, sure, I'll pay $1,030. You know, that doesn't make a big difference for me, but that's going to make a big difference when you look at your overall annual transaction fees that your organization is putting out in order to be able to collect money on credit cards.
So what can you do about allowing donors to pay to cover the transaction fee? Firstly, of course, see if you're not already doing this, if this feature isn't already one you're using, then see if your platform allows it. Quite a lot of CRMs and donation form platforms actually have this feature built into it. But we find many organizations don't know that it's there. It's often somewhere buried in the settings, and some CRM vendors like to give it rather odd names. It might be called something like Gift Boost or something like that rather than an obvious name. So look for this and possibly ask tech support where you could find that option.
And then if you do give the donors this option, then you need to communicate it everywhere as though you're changing the address of your organization. Put it in your newsletter, mention it in person, include it in thank you notes. I was thinking to myself, what if you wrote, thanks for the $1,000 and for going above and beyond to cover the transaction fee? And the other thing is, I think that a lot of major donors do talk to each other, and for someone to say, like, wow, I felt so great about the fact that I didn't cost the organization anything by making a donation on my credit card, is something that people will tell their friends and is contagious. So our last topic is mobile responsiveness. So as we mentioned, when we're talking about mobile responsiveness, we mean, can someone do anything they can do on your website and see everything they need to be able to see and have it be clear on a mobile phone specifically, or a tablet, or a watch, although I don't know that we could have really great donation forms on watches, but we do know that
people... That would be quite a challenge.
That would be a challenge. But the bottom line is your website does need to be mobile responsive at this point. So as Adam's going to tell us in a moment, you can determine whether your form is responsive or not. But that mobile donation form conversions is actually much lower. We mentioned only 17% of these transactions are successful. Well, if those people are doing it on a desktop, then 20% of them are successful. And if they're doing it on a phone, only 8% of them are successful.
What can you do about mobile responsiveness on your donation forms? First, test your site and your donation form on your own mobile device. By test, we mean a kind of a simple smoke test here. Go to the website. Can you read the text on the homepage and other pages? Can you navigate around the site? Can you press the button that says donate? Or can you go to, when you go to a donation form, or like a major giving donation form, can you actually fill it out? Don't just stop there. Recruit your friends and family and other staff members who have other mobile devices, and you know, try to get a cross-section of different Android and iPhone devices, definitely including tablets if you're intending to do in-person asks. Another thing you can do here is use the Google Mobile Friendly Test. You have the URL there on the slide. This is an automated test where you will paste in the URL of your donation page or any other page on your website. And then Google will run a bunch of tests on it and give you a report with a score and also a description of everything that Google thinks you need to improve. By the way, the tests that you're running here are also the same sorts of tests that Google considers in its ranking algorithm, because mobile friendliness is part of that. So you'd be getting an SEO benefit from this as well.
And that's just for the general website. It's not exactly this topic, but it's right. All related, which
indeed.
Is also the third point about optimizing your web design for mobile devices.
Right, and the final point is that if you do find problems with either of these testing, then talk to your web team about fixing those problems. And again, the Google test will give you a nice list of exactly what you can do. So, one final point, or almost final point, we want to leave you with is that we're talking about some unusual things that aren't everyday practices here. So your mileage is going to vary with all of this. There are speed bumps you might encounter on the road here. One of these would be your credit card processor. Many credit card processors have, you know, undocumented or poorly documented cutoffs of what's the maximum amount that they'll allow. So we would definitely suggest talking to whoever your credit card processor is before rolling out a major gift, a major donor gift form. You can also hit this problem at the donor side, that the donor might have some sort of limit on their card, or that a large gift might trigger a security algorithm. You can't always do a lot about that. Starting with in-person asks can be a way to control for that. Another thing to consider is that you're going to have less of this problem with American Express. So allowing American Express donations on major gift forms is something we would definitely recommend.
Yes, and we definitely recommend having lots of donors that have American Express black cards, because then they can like give you $50,000 and that would solve a lot of problems. And then the other thing is that some donors who maybe are interested in doing this, i.e. my mother, might need to be walked through doing this. So you might have a donor who sort of knows how to purchase things online. They use Amazon. Sometimes they do things online, and you say to them, wow, we could make your giving so much easier. You know, your handwriting's getting bad and you don't like writing checks. And so it could be that, again, a volunteer, an intern, or maybe the development director or the executive director gets on the phone with the person and says, here, let me walk you through making a gift this way. Or you could even phrase it like, we're doing a study and we want to see whether people understand how to use this. So can I do this with you on the phone right now to make sure that you're able to do this successfully? And then hopefully that'll be something that will either catch on for that person, or you'll start to get a better idea of if there are challenges that people are running into in that area.
Key takeaways from today's presentation. You can do major gift fundraising online. In 2018, people are giving large amounts online, and the technology exists to customize your online donation process to meet the needs of major giving. Doing so is beneficial for the organization and for the donor as well. And of course, with all of this advice, segmentation, personalization, and personal attention are key to getting good results.
Right, with everything really, which is, you know, this is going to give you the best results in programming, evaluation, web design, volunteer programs, whatever you're doing, and you're taking the extra time at the beginning, before the thing happens, before the person makes the gift, setting all of this up in advance is going to make a difference in terms of the long term, and that's what we do with basically everything we do as a nonprofit. So how to contact us? We have our website there. We have our, remind me, it's not a hashtag, it's our Twitter handle.
Yes,
I don't know
Twitter
why handle. I can't remember that, Twitter handle. And our individual email addresses, and believe it or not, we are now in an age where we're just giving you all our cell phone numbers. So, you know, use any of this if we don't get, I know we don't have as much time as we'd like to answer more questions at the end, but please feel free to email us your questions. We will do the best we can to address them, send you to articles that have been relevant for us putting this presentation together. It might be something that you might want to find an article to share with your board or something like that. You can also Google a lot of the keywords of what we talked about today and find many of the sources that we used for this material.
And before we move on to questions, we have a quick offer for you. We'll be holding a summer school during the month of August. This is going to be a series of 4 1-hour online workshops. We'll be talking about some of the topics that we talked about today. We'll be talking about how to optimize your website and donation forms. We'll be talking about, for example, using design to show impact. We'll be talking about how to optimize for usability and mobile responsiveness. We'll be talking about using analytics correctly to measure the success that you're having with your donation forms, and about something that we think is quite important, which is strategies for getting your board or your executive leadership on board with the idea of investing in the website. These will be, we'll have a low enrollment on these, so you'll have a lot of chance to interact directly with us and with the other people involved in the workshop. And the price includes a custom donation form audit where we will do a audit your form against 9 best practices and then give you a 30-minute personal consultation. We're offering a 20% off to people who attended this webinar. And that yields a price of $500.
Right. And think of this as like group therapy for websites and donation forms. We are going to be focused on, we're limiting the enrollment to only 7 people. I call it the Brady Bunch setup on Zoom, where we're all going to be able to see each other and you will be interacting with us personally as well as interacting with each other. And we hope that the 6 or 7 people who sign up for this will create a cohort that supports each other as they try to implement some of these things at the major giving level or just in general. So thank you so much. And Brian, I know we don't have much time, but we'd love to get some questions in.
Yes. So thank you so much. I mean, this is really fascinating to me. It makes me feel a little bit like a Luddite because I haven't been directly involved in a while, and the world really is moving ahead. And it's just fascinating to think of all of this in terms of major donors. So before we go to questions, 2 quick announcements. First, we have Beth Cantor with us on August 14th. She has a book on the happy, healthy nonprofit strategies for impact without burnout. And I thought that was particularly relevant to those of us who do major gifts and are always out there on the front line cultivating and asking, whether we're development officers, executive directors, board members, or such. So she'll be talking about that within this context. That will be free, and you'll get information on that tomorrow when you get the follow-up from us on today. And I do want to say my book is out. I hope you'll all consider buying it. I waited many years to write this book on the asking styles until I felt I really understood them inside out and could share what I've learned with everyone. And I'm delighted to have launched it last week. And you can go to our website or to Amazon to find out more about it. But now let's get to some questions, just a few. And we will stay on a few minutes later. If you have to go, you can listen to the recording tomorrow. But I do want to grab a couple of these questions. The first is from Jody. If you have any recommendations for platforms with which to create these giving forms that are easy to use and look nice. And Diana, someone else mentioned Givergy, which I hadn't heard of. Do you have a couple of recommendations for our audience?
Givergy is not one that I'm familiar with. In general, this is really a very personal question for each organization. There's a whole lot of options in that vary in terms of the features they have, how they integrate with other systems that you have, how much control you get over the design. So usually the correct way to go about this is to do an actual evaluation project where you figure out your needs and then do a review and do a demo with different vendors mm-hmm. to see where you actually demo the sorts of things you'll be doing with these platforms.
Yeah, for us, that can be an entire project, is just us helping an organization figure out what the best platform is for them. And then a whole separate project can be then implementing that platform and integrating it with QuickBooks, Salesforce, whatever other programs that they're using, and making sure that everything gets along nicely.
Mm, okay, so much more complicated than we might have thought. Someone mentioned transitioning people to ACH payments, direct payments out of their accounts, rather than credit card payments. Any thoughts on this and how that works with all of these online donation forms? Are you seeing much of this?
My experience has been that it's just a much harder sell. Having someone give you their bank account routing number, their bank account number, I feel like it's something that feels very intimate for people. I know it does for me. So I haven't felt it's been as successful. And again, a lot of people that I know that are making these major gifts on their credit cards are doing it partially because there's some benefit to them, including frequent flyer miles or points, hotel points or something like that. So we're certainly not opposed to it. As a matter of fact, that gets rid of the transaction fee altogether. So certainly we love the idea of it, but we haven't had quite as much success with it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I see where that would be, could be a tough sell. I'm not sure I'd give my routing number to too many people either. I understand that. So Jane asks, what's the best way to roll out foundation/pillar giving if your organization hasn't used this approach before? Would you start with a handful of donors, do a test case and make an internal goal, or do you just roll it out once you're ready?
Well, we are big fans of one of our calling card phrases is iterate, iterate, iterate. So yes, we think that you should go with a handful of major donors that you have a very strong, open relationship with, a deep relationship with, that you can go to and say, I'm so excited about this new thing we're doing. You're the first person I thought of that I wanted to show it to, and I can't wait to hear what you think about it.
To call it a beta test.
Call it a beta test. That might not mean anything to some of the people. Again, depending on what types of people we're talking about. But yeah, to call it a beta test, then do it with a handful of people, then gather back with your team and say, okay, well, some people thought that this was intrusive, or some people thought this was weird, or they still want to write checks, or in the case of millennials, it doesn't matter how we ask them, they're just not going to make gifts, even if they have, like the tech people in San Francisco, a $250,000 annual salary. But then you can try to iterate, and you can say, oh, okay, well then let's change the form a little bit, or let's change how we're wording it, and then do it for a few more. And then after, four or five small groups, then we have found that most people get to a place where they're fairly confident with what they have, and that the people who are using it are finding it to be easy and compelling and kind of fun. It's kind of fun to just do this and be done with it and feel like that hero that someone said, this makes you a hero, especially those recurring donations. You know, that yes. those amounts of money spread out over the course of the year, you know, that makes a huge difference. Yes. And we think that people will be pleased by that. And it'll be, like I said, it'll be a fun and an add-on for them.
Great. Someone asked about that Google test site address. We'll send that in the follow-up email. This is an interesting technical question. When donors cover the transaction fee, can they deduct that? Is that also a charitable contribution?
No. So it would show up as the donation is just the $1,000. So the transaction fee is a fee. So that's not going to show up on their tax statement as being a tax deductible in January of the following year.
Great. One more question. Do you have sort of a best practice donation form, David asked about this, that you might share, that we might give out tomorrow, something you feel really is sharp and compelling?
We do actually. If we can hold off till tomorrow, we have a couple mm-hmm. that I don't know the addresses off the top of my head.
That would be great. We can attach those as we'll put the links in the email and even attach the visuals probably to the letter we send out. That would be great.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Okay, well, it is 5 after. There are lots of questions, which says to me this is such an important topic for so many organizations. I really appreciate Carrie and Adam, your bringing all of this to us today. And I thank everyone for being here with us. And I thank you all for being out there asking for money, because I think those of us who are out there doing it are doing really important work and helping make the world a better place and helping our organizations do such fine work. So thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Carrie and Adam, and everyone have a great afternoon. Take care.